Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Adi Oladipo here. Thank you so much for downloading Fight Night Extra. Remember, we're here every single Tuesday live on TalkSport to myself and the great Gareth A. Davis. If you can't join us live, remember to subscribe to the Fight Night podcast channel. So much other great content there as well, such as Fight Night, Fight of My Life, and even the Mike Tyson story, The Boy from Brownsville.
This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
Good afternoon. If you love your boxing and your MMA, then this is obviously the show for you. Fight Night Extra, where we bring you all the latest from the world of combat sports. Joining me, as always, is the great Gareth A. Davis for another busy, busy show. Coming up on the show today, should Anthony Joshua step aside? We'll look at the heavyweight division as calls grow for AJ not to have a rematch with Alexander Usyk. Amir Khan versus Kell Brook is only a few weeks away now. We're going to get the latest from both fighters. And we'll look back on UFC 270 as Ngannou beat Ciryl Gane in what some say was a disappointing fight. Look, don't go anywhere. This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
If you're Anthony Joshua and you are going to be presented by your team with an offer that reportedly is going to be upwards of, 15 million pounds, around $20 million American, to step aside, when somebody gives you $20 million for doing nothing, swallow your pride and take the money.
I'm hearing people saying AJ accepts 15 million to step aside. I ain't signed no contract. So as it stands, stop listening to the that it comes from me.
Every time we see each other, I mean, look, I can see in his eyes as well, he doesn't like me. And likewise, we've always had that bitterness against each other, you know?
I've got itchy knuckles now. I'm ready to get in there. The fact is that it's happening now. We're all getting to see it now. Better late than never, as my teacher always used to say when I was running late in the school. We have got the fight February 19th.
And still the undisputed UFC heavyweight champion of the world, Francis Ngannou.
Look, we've got absolutely loads to talk about for the next hour. We might have to extend the show. I think this could go on longer than an hour, this one. I want to start with firstly, hello, how are you, Gareth? Hello.
I'm very well, sir. How are you? Big trouble in Little China with my Telegraph story this week, eh?
Well, now you're going there. Let's go there. It was your piece that broke the internet. It honestly broke the internet. I think your piece even got a response from Anthony Joshua. Look, you wrote the piece, Gareth. Where did it come from in terms of the figures? I don't know how much you can reveal here because, again, your sources are your sources. But to be fair, Alexander Usyk's manager came out and really backed what you said as well about conversations happening between Usyk and Fury since November. So a lot of what you wrote in that piece has been backed up.
Yeah, absolutely. Good afternoon, Eddie. It's one of those funny ones, isn't it? There's three fights potentially for the top four heavyweights in the world at the moment that we're all poised. After months of speculation, after the disaster last June when we didn't get Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua, by the way, let's not forget history here, and we got one of the battles for the ages, or two of the battles for the ages, if you like, with Alexander Usyk and Anthony Joshua and Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder within the space of a fortnight last year in September and October. Look, there's three fights out there. Anthony Joshua trying to reclaim his WBO, IBF and WBA belts against Alexander Usyk. There's Tyson Fury defending his WBC belts against Dillian White, mandated at an 80-20 split by the World Boxing Council, or WBC, or there's the undisputed title next between Alexander Usyk with those three belts and Tyson Fury with the WBC crown. That will all come to a head, we expect, tomorrow night at high noon. Mexico time, OK Corral time for all the promoters, gunslinging, money grabbing, kind of huge deal making. It's gone on and on and on for months, this. I can't reveal my sources. I never do. But you know who I've been speaking to. I've been speaking to the movers and shakers. I've been speaking to lots of people on the inside. And I know we're going to talk about it later in the show. You go back and watch the Anthony Joshua video that he put out yesterday in response to the story. And Anthony, at no point in that piece did he say, no, I'm absolutely fighting Alexander Usyk next. There was deafening silence in that about Alexander Usyk because he is considering it.
You know, I had to defend you on my own YouTube channel. I made a video and I was like, look, whether or not you guys see eye to eye with Gareth, I've worked with him for the best part of 2 years and he knows what he's talking about. I said, that figure that he mentioned of 15 million hasn't just been plucked from thin air. He didn't just make it up. Trust me, he knows something. And I had to put a lot of fires out for you, Gareth. So feel free to thank me later, but I put a lot of fires out for you yesterday.
I'm going to thank you. Thank you. Thank you, sir. I mean, okay. Look, the other thing about this, whatever anyone thinks about the story and who the sources are and where it's come from and what people think about, is it makes absolute sense. Mm. And I've been talking to some of the old sages from boxing that have been involved for 50, 60 years in the sport, 40, 50. It makes absolute sense for Anthony Joshua to step aside and take a huge sum of money and fight the winner of Alexander Usyk and Tyson Fury next. It makes absolute sense. It's likely to be Tyson Fury. So in one fell swoop, he'll get all the money that he was going to get for the Tyson Fury fight in the start. And he gets to step aside. And he gets to work with this new training team for an extended period of time. And he hasn't even announced that team. And why hasn't Eddie Hearn announced the Joshua Usyk fight yet? That took place 5 months ago. It hasn't been announced yet. All these things point to high noon at the OK Corral. Listen, if the White Fury purse bid comes through tomorrow, that may well go on and happen. And then we will get Anthony Joshua against Usyk. Let me ask you, what do you think is the next best sensible move for Anthony Joshua?
I'm going to save my response till after the break when we go into this in a bit more detail. Okay. But I will say this, though. I think there are three or four reasons why I think AJ should take the step aside. And I've only got one reason why he shouldn't. And even the one reason doesn't make sense. But for me, there's a bit of pride in there. One reason. But I will save it as we move on very quickly to Khan versus Brook. What is good now about Khan versus Brook? And that you'll be there for TalkSport. Obviously, TalkSport have now signed a deal with Boxer. So you'll be there for it. You'll be there ringside doing what you do with Adam Cattrall and Andy Clark, obviously one of the best teams in boxing. I initially, when this fight was initially announced, I was like, don't want to see it. I'm done. I've grown up wanting this fight to happen for the best part of 10 years. Now, though, a few weeks away, I feel like a little kid in a sweet shop. I can't wait for it to happen.
Look, within the panoply, the phalanx of fights announced, fight events announced, for February and March. And it's a brilliant February and March. Josh Taylor and Jack Catterall, Amir Khan and Cal Brook. Next weekend we're there as well for Chris Eubank and Liam Williams. I'm speaking to both of them this week as well. As you rightly say, I caught up with Amir Khan and Cal Brook last week as well. I know we're going to hear them on the show. They were both fantastic. And I tell you, I did the international media call with them. And then I got on the Zoom with both of them. Cal in Fuerteventura in Las Canarias, off the coast of Spain, of course, more Africa than Spain in terms of, you know, geographically where it is. The temperature there is amazing. And then got off the phone with Amir, who'd been in Colorado Springs. I got onto the phone rather on the Zoom with Amir, Colorado Springs, talking all about training around the Omaha team of Bo Mack and Terence Crawford and Shaka Stevenson there, and saying at 35, I was worried about it, but I was able to keep up with all the guys. We were running the hills on a Sunday and training twice a week for 6 days a week. And I'll tell you what, they both really want this fight. Kel's a bit worried that Amir won't turn up and he'll pull an injury, or because he wants it in a way more than Amir. He needs it more in a way for his own psychology, for his own psyche, Adi, to know that he got this fight in the end, a fight that he craved. He's craved this fight for absolutely years. So they're both in a similar state of wear and tear in their careers, in their mid-30s now. And I think we're set for a cracker. And there's a rematch clause, just in case it really is a cracker.
Indeed. Well sold, Gareth, by the way. They must have paid you a bit extra for that sell. That was fantastic. It's crazy when you mention Amir Khan's age here, to think that Amir Khan has been a pro for half his life.
Let's yeah, absolutely.
2004 Athens after, wasn't it? He's been a pro for
absolutely.
That long.
Absolutely. When he won the World Youth Championships, you know, when he was 17, he couldn't get in the British team to start for the Olympics. And he was thinking about fighting for Pakistan, representing Pakistan at the time because of his heritage as well. He desperately wanted to go to the 2004 Olympic Games in Athens. He got there, of course, and lost in the final against a vastly experienced Cuban, Mario Kindelan, who he avenged defeat against as a professional, as a young professional. I remember being up there in the Reebok Stadium, as it was then. I don't know if it's still the Reebok Stadium in Bolton.
Its name now. I don't know what it's called. It's not the Reebok.
Yeah, but it was then. I think it was the Reebok then, I think, if I remember rightly. And, you know, he's had an incredible career. More than half his life has been lived in the public eye. And it's reflected in the way he is and the way he carries himself. His table manners, but on the Zoom call, by the way, you'll hear them later. You can hear the cutlery chinking. He'd just done the international media call. He needed his dinner. I said, no, you go ahead and eat while we do the Zoom call. He has got impeccable table manners doing an interview while we spoke.
Indeed, he has. That's Amir Khan, isn't it? That's Amir Khan. Quickly, UFC 270 is in the books, as they say. Ngannou defending his title against Cyril Garn in a fight we kind of didn't expect. I don't think anyone predicted it will play out like that. I want to quickly touch on, though, the issue with Dana White not putting the belt around Ngannou's waist. It was Mick Maynard who did it. And then Dana White not even doing the post-fight press conference. And we're so used to seeing him do all of those, by the way. I actually found that very disrespectful and almost bullying, like, honestly, it's difficult to bully a guy that's 6'7" and 265 pounds, but it was bullying. I didn't like it at all. And you could even see Ngannou, and his voice was very upset by it as well. I mean, for Dana White not to put the belt around his waist, it's ridiculous and childish.
Yeah, well, Francis Ngannou is one of the great sports stories of the modern era in fight sports. And, you know, from being an 11-year-old boy in Cameroon, digging out in the quarry and getting that incredible physique where he looks like he looks like a truck, doesn't he? And I think, you know, it was very sad to see that. And I think there's no one that pulls Dana up. He's his own boss, of course, and he does what he wants to do. He has canonical ownership of what he does in the UFC. He's a master marketeer as well. And even though we know that Ngannou has been unhappy behind the scenes with his deals and what he's getting paid and he wants this and that in his contract, and he feels like he's given his all to the UFC. You know, I think his appearance with Ariel Helwani on the MMA Hour yesterday has garnered a lot of appreciation from other fighters and fans for the fact that he stood up and spoke his mind about those things. And, you know, people are calling it one of the most courageous UFC fighter interviews ever, because he's risking all. Will he ever fight again in the UFC? That's what we're asking now. And I wonder if Scott Coker and Bellator and some of the boxing promoters are now rubbing their hands together in glee, thinking, maybe Tyson Fury and Francis Ngannou is a bit closer now, as is Anthony Joshua and Francis Ngannou, because those big boys would sell. It's as simple as that. He's a star.
He certainly is a star. And we'll discuss Ngannou a bit more later on in the show. All right, this is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2. Still to come, we're going to be discussing the huge heavyweight title fight at UFC 270 we just heard there last weekend. And we're going to preview Khan versus Brook, which will be live right now on TalkSport. Great news for TalkSport listeners. But next, we're going to hear from Tyson Fury and ask whether Anthony Joshua should take step-aside money available to him.
It's prize fighting. In this case, it can be prize sitting on your rear end. I can appreciate the competitive spirit of Anthony Joshua, or any boxer for that matter, But if it was good enough for Lennox Lewis to take, you know, what, $4 or $5 million to step aside and not fight Mike Tyson, it should be good enough for Anthony Joshua.
I'm the man in control of my destiny. I'm the man that handles my business. And I make calculated decisions every step of the way. Don't listen to the from other sources. If I tell you something, you know it's real.
Yeah, we'll find out if it's real or not in the next couple of days. But let's hear from one man first who's getting impatient, waiting to find out who his next opponent is, and that man is Tyson Fury. He took to social media to voice his own frustrations.
Another gym session done. Tuesday morning, smashed. Tick, tick, effing tick tock is the subject of today. Is Dillon Whyte going to fight me? Is Anthony Joshua going to step aside? Let me know. Because I am sick of looking at these bums. Sick of listening to their excuses. Tick, tick, tock. The time has run out the bottle. You're all getting a good hiding, cowards.
You gotta love Tyson Fury. Honestly, Tyson Fury is one of the best showmans I've seen for years in boxing. Honestly, absolutely fantastic character. This is Fight Extra on TalkSport 2. Myself, Adi Oladipo, the great Gareth A. Davis as well. All right, let's talk about this. The step aside, will AJ do it? Are we more likely, and it seems like we are now, to see Alexander Usyk versus Tyson Fury than AJ versus Usyk or Dillon Whyte versus Tyson Fury? At the start of the show, Gareth, you asked me, do I think AJ should step aside? And I said, I'll wait and give you my answer. From a business standpoint, absolutely yes. Someone's giving you £50 million to almost say, okay, look, we'll do the business for you. Then why not? From this is maybe a bit silly, but from a fighter standpoint, and the only comparison I can make is with Deontay Wilder when he got absolutely bashed up by Tyson Fury the second time round. And he was like, you know what? No, I want to do it again. I want to do it again. It's not going out like that. We're not going out like that. We're going to do it again. We're going to roll the dice again. So much so, he even took Tyson Fury to an arbitration to make sure that third fight happened. Some might say it's because of money, and I'll argue and say, well, you know, he got paid decent for Luis Ortiz, second time round in Dominic Brazil. You know, he does make his money now. But the fighter in him was like, no way is that playing out like that again. And we saw how well he did in the third fight. And that's the only reason I want AJ to take on Usyk. Just the fighter in him. Because I almost feel like him passing Usyk over to Fury is him almost admitting that he can't beat Alexander Usyk. And that might be the right thing to do. I just don't like it from the fighter standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, like you say, there's a clear dichotomy there, Andy, in how you think as a businessman and how you think as a fighter. And weirdly, over the last 2 months, Anthony Joshua has given interviews depicting both those personalities.
Yeah.
And like you say, that there is a huge amount of self-belief and ego and deep warrior spirit involved in what you're talking about, that it seems like a weakness to step down. But you read Sun Tzu, The Art of War, you don't have to win every battle to win the war. And this is a war. It's a war to be the king of the era. Mm. And styles make fights, and Usyk and Fury are the two most difficult styles for Anthony Joshua in the division. Mm. It's a shootout with Deontay Wilder. Anthony Joshua is a better boxer than Deontay Wilder. In my view, he's more finesse than Dillon Whyte. And he's a bigger and more dangerous finisher than Dillon Whyte, if we're mentioning some of the other heavyweights. Flip Hergovic, you know, others coming through at the moment, Jared Anderson, they're the new generation that these older guys in their 30s may not be able to deal with eventually in a year or two's time. So I think I really do take your point on that. And that's probably what mentally Anthony Joshua has been wrestling with and consulting with different coaches. But the old sages in the sport who've done things in a different way and paradigms shift and times change would say that he's better off to rebuild. Rather than go straight back into a battle, a second battle, maybe the last battle of the marketing around Anthony Joshua as the heavyweight champion. If he loses, that could collapse because, you know, if he loses twice to Alexander Usyk in a row and he's comprehensively outboxed again and even knocked out, it really is a very difficult climb back from there. It's a difficult rematch anyway, because when we see those silhouettes dance, You see that Anthony Joshua has to do completely different things the second time around. I mean, I was talking to TalkSport earlier about it, and he's got to push Usyk into corners. He's got to lean on him. He's got to get on him. He's got to harry him and harass him, rather like Derek Chisora did in the first four or five rounds of Alexander Usyk's second heavyweight fight. Mm. That's what he's got to do. And he's got to go after Usyk, and he's got to hurt him, and he's got to finish him, and he's got to stand toe-to-toe and not stand back and try and jab him, because Usyk's a southpaw. He's brilliant at finding weird angles. We saw that early in the fight, in the very first round, that Usyk was able to find angles to pop Anthony Joshua by being mobile and being crab-like, and finding the angles that southpaws find, because they come from a different mindset, you know. So, it's a fascinating fight, the second fight, but I think it makes absolute sense for him just to take his time. It's a marathon, not a sprint at the end of the day. Joshua said he wants to be around for five more years.
Yeah.
Take the step aside, let Usyk and Fury have the fight, and you never know. He could then have his opportunity against Tyson Fury, who by then might be older, might have gone through another difficult 12 rounds against Alexander Usyk. Tyson Fury said to me when I did his homecoming tour, when we were in Manchester, I was in his hotel room, and he said to me, Deontay Wilder and I, great for the fans that fight, but we took punishment that we're going to feel later on in our lives. Everlasting punishment we took in that fight. Mm. You know, that's my view on it.
Yeah, and I also feel, and it's interesting that you say that about Tyson Fury, because, look, as much as we've said things like, you know, AJ will take a step aside and, you know, could potentially fight the winner of Fury Usyk, I'm very much in the thinking that if Fury beats Usyk and becomes undisputed, then he just sells off into the sunset. I honestly don't think there is an undisputed fight against AJ. And look, a lot of money will be on the table for it, but I almost feel like he will think, you know, I've ticked all the boxes I want to tick here. And we're done. We can call it quits from this sport, because you're right. Those fights against Wilder, all three of them, he took punishment. Big shots from Wilder.
Yeah.
You don't recover from those shots. You simply don't. And I could see him calling it quits. I could really see him. And I guess the only other thing as well, does AJ deserve it? Like, I mean, AJ, for me as a fight fan, and put my, you know, my hardcore boxing hat away, but just as a fight fan, AJ versus the winner, AJ needs to do some good work to deserve that. So I'm talking, you might have to go through Joe Joyce, a Dillian White, a Hergovic. He's going to have to do something a bit special for fans to even get excited about him taking on the winner.
No, I don't think he does. He just takes on the winner. It's as simple as that. He's the number three heavyweight in the world, in my view. I think Tyson Fury is number one, Alexander Usyk's number two, and he's number three. That's why when Usyk and Fury fight, they'll fight for all four belts and the Ring Magazine title.
Yeah.
So it's five belts on the line for Joshua. He doesn't need. He was the holder of three of the belts.
Yeah.
He lost them to Andy Ruiz. He won them back rightfully in fine fashion, slightly gun shy, and he's now a fighter behind the jab as opposed to someone that comes and attacks and lets his hands go. He's got to get back to being that character, the character that George Foreman says, be yourself, be the destroyer, go back and be that. Same as Lennox Lewis. Even though Anthony Joshua doesn't like the things Lennox Lewis says, these guys have been around in the sport a long time. They've been through the same processes. We've been watching this for a long time. Anthony Joshua is a clever guy.
Yeah.
Why not take the one fight for a minimum of, if it's step aside and the fight against either of Usyk and Fury, take that fight. And he's going to earn a minimum of around 50 million to do one fight. It's in any other business, you know.
It doesn't even make business sense. It's crazy.
Correct. But if they said, Addy, you know, when you're not on the air, we've got so many people screaming for you and so many advertisers want to pay. We're going to pay you 6 months' salary to stay at home. You probably wouldn't. You'd say, no, I'd rather be in the studio and earn less money because you love it so much. And I probably would as well. And maybe what we're saying in that is, do you know what? Maybe we understand why Anthony Joshua doesn't want to step aside. But I go back to his quotes where he called that story of mine bull. It may be bull in his mind, but he did not say, no, I'm facing Alexander Usyk next. Yeah. This is my training team, and that's what I'm going to be out there.
And that's what I wanted from that video, and
zip,
he didn't.
Zip,
100%. Zip. I agree. And I wanted him to do it in the video. I wanted him to say, That report in the Telegraph is nonsense, because you know what we're doing? Usyk in May. He didn't do it. Didn't do it at all. Very quickly, just before we go to the break, does that mean we are more likely now to get AJ versus Dillian White next?
No. AJ will fight for the belts next. There's no doubt about it. He will not... Well, I don't see him fighting Dillian White, because Dillian White... There's three fights that can happen, in my view, and I may be wrong tomorrow night. You just don't know. I mean, because all the big movers and shakers are very tight-lipped, and they are... We're definitely close to something, because they're not saying anything now. So it means they really have talked, and they are, you know, they're just not letting the beans out. They're not letting those jumping jack beans out. What we're going to get, Fury against White for the WBC, we're going to get, or we're going to get Anthony Joshua against Usyk for those three belts in the rematch, or we're going to get Fury against Usyk for all of them. Those are the only three fights that can take place, in my view. And hopefully tomorrow, high noon, Mexico City, OK Corral, the guns will be put back in the holsters, and we'll hear that there's an entente cordiale, and we know who's fighting who next.
Yeah, let's hope we do get some good news from that. As Gareth called it. What did you call it, Gareth? High noon. What was the
high noon at the OK at the Mexico City OK Corral of the WBC?
Perfect. All right, this is Fun Extra on TalkSport 2. Remember, still to come, we're going to look back on UFC 270. But up next, we're talking Khan versus Brook, which, good news today, will be live on TalkSport.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
With Kel, he talks a big game, then he backs. Come see Feb 19th, we'll see what happens on the night.
And tries the uppercut, and it comes to six there, and Brooks got it!
You know, we just generally just don't like each other. It's going to make for a mouth-watering, exciting fireworks.
Two huge icons in boxing that I grew up watching.
It would be a travesty if this fight didn't take place. So, and it might be, you know, the defining fight in who's the best out of these two.
Kel Brook has got himself in the ring. Amir Khan is making some suggestions to the fans at this moment in time.
Who would win the fight? Oh, Khan's getting the crowd on his side. I love it. I love this pantomime.
This is what sells fights, though.
It's a 50-50 fight. I mean, Amir's hand speed's going to be dangerous early on. Kel's a championship fighter.
But this fight, it's been a long time coming, and now we're here, we've got it.
And everyone knows that, you know, we've had that bad blood for many years. So it's a good time for me to put him to bed.
And we've not had a British rivalry fight for a very long time.
Yeah, should be a good one, shouldn't it? It's funny, Gareth said on there, that piece, you probably heard Gareth say it's a 50-50 fight, and he's right, it is now. I never thought it was in the 10 years preceding this fight, but now it certainly is a 50-50 fight. Look, TalkSport is to exclusively broadcast the long-awaited grudge match between Amir Khan and Kell Brook in partnership with Boxer. The fight follows TalkSport's previous coverage of big fights, including Fury versus Wilder 3, gone down as one of the greatest heavyweight fights of all time, and regular boxing content across the schedule, including TalkSport's Fight Night and Fight Night Extra, right here on TalkSport 2. Let's hear now, though, from Amir Khan, head of the long-anticipated belt. He says there is genuine animosity between him and Kell Brook.
Every time we see each other, I mean, look, I can see in his eyes as well, he doesn't like me. And likewise, we've always had that bitterness against each other, you know? I respect what he's done in the sport of boxing. For any fighter to win a world title, you have to respect them. He's been there, he's done it, but
you know, I've not got that respect for him in that sense. When I step in that ring with him, I'm there to punch him right in the face and do a proper job on him.
Yeah, Gareth A. Davis there speaking to Amir Khan. He also spoke to Kell Brook, and this is what Kell Brook had to say about taking on Amir Khan.
You know, it's irritating that another fellow Brit or any fighter overseas or not, you know, we climb in that ring, risk a life in there, and, you know, for what I've done, going over to America, winning the world title, you know, jumping up two weights, fighting Golovkin, you know, I've never really been given the props from him. You know, and any fighter at any level should always give that respect, you know, because we know how hard it is and what we have to do to get in that ring, you know, to go into battle. So, you know, it's just disrespect, and it's just irritating. He's in cuckoo land. He believes all the hype from all these back slappers. And, you know, I want to basically give him a punch in the face, basically.
Both fighters saying exactly the same things. That's interesting. They dislike each other. I do wonder, when this fight's all said and done, Gareth, is there'll be, whether or not there'll be a mutual respect, a handshake. That's kind of what we want to see from both. But I think it's got the ingredients for a very special night in Manchester, just because I think both of them have almost deteriorated as well, at exactly the same rate, which is interesting. I think we've seen the best Amir Khan, obviously. He's had a long career. We've seen the best Kell Brook as well. And, you know, you mentioned at the top there, Gareth, 50-50 fight, and you are right, it is a 50-50 fight. But for the longest amount of years, I've always thought that Kell had the advantage in this one. Now, I'm not sure at all. Now, I have no idea
how it's going to play out. I agree. I mean, you know, I think Kell's ability in the mid-range, ability to command a fight, his ring generalship, did make him the more dangerous foe. As you say, kind of 3, maybe 4 years ago, but now it has equalized. You know, it's difficult for Kell to make the weights in his 30s. They've gone to 149 pounds. Amir said he's given them all the things that they want. He's getting the lion's share of the purse. He's revealed that. He revealed that in that press conference. Look, they almost came to blows the minute they stood face to face. They couldn't contain themselves, you know. And when there's a genuine grudge match, going back to Ben and Eubank, you only need to say their surnames. And you know, the kind of fights that we've seen in this country, the Lennox Lewis and Frank Bruno, you know, it's right up there with the biggest grudge fights. We never got Junior Whittle when he was a WBC champion against Ricky Hatton.
Yeah.
And that's a fight we should have seen. But Ricky didn't want to yield at all and give Junior that big payday and a big opportunity against him. And Whittle was a great boxer at the time. And, you know, that's a tragedy, a travesty, rather, that didn't happen. And thank God they've signed. I mean, I do worry that this fight could get delayed or someone could get COVID. Even Kell expressed it to me later on in the interview that he does worry. He said, until Amir's opposite him with gloves on and the bell's about to sound and the names have been read out and the records and all those things and the crowd's in, that he won't believe he's actually in the fight. And I think it's a really difficult one because it will be terrible if this fight collapses in any way, shape or form, because we are now really excited about it. And you know, the arena sold out in record time and they thought afterwards they could have put it in a bigger arena. It's a terrific matchup, and it's something that obviously there was a lot of noise and it was too late and people aren't interested anymore, but it's nonsense now. Look how interested people are. Like you said, you weren't that thrilled by the prospect of it, the idea of it to begin with. But now it's going to happen. You think, this is fascinating. It's a car crash fight with two guys very late in their career. Both, I mean, I don't want to sound unkind, but they're both well past their prime.
Yeah.
And it's a big money fight. And there's a big money fight there, in my view, with Conor Benn for the winner. And I think Conor Benn beats both of them at the moment, because I just think he's too young, he's too strong, he's not as adept yet as both of them are, and not as experienced. And they've been in with some great, great campaigners, but, you know, some great stars of the sport. But, you know, it's going to be, we're going to be on tenterhooks. We're going to be on the edge of our seats when that first bell rings, because we just don't know what's going to happen.
Honestly, we've absolutely no idea. I was watching Kell do those media rounds last week, and you obviously spoke to him. The weight's been a big issue for Kell, because he really is a big 147-pounder, although this will be a couple of pounds higher. I still don't think that really helps him that much, if I'm honest with you. I thought he looked still pretty big doing those media rounds. I still thought he looked a bit fleshy. I know the way in which Dominic Ingle likes his fighters to lose weight, and it almost seems to be like a drastic cut in the last 24, 48 hours. I'm a bit worried about Kell making that £149 limit.
Yeah, well, like you say, if you lose a lot of weight quickly, it does impact on your performance. There's no question about that. We've seen that down the years with different fighters. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, that's one of the reasons that Kell has revealed that he's done a six-week camp all the way through Christmas. He was doing 90-mile bike rides on Christmas Day and Boxing Wow. Day. It's the longest camp he's ever had away from home, from his wife and his children. 6 weeks in Fuerteventura. And, you know, he's got the climate for that. I thought he looked fantastic. I mean, I did a Zoom with him in his car after the media rounds, and he looked very chiseled in the jaw. He looked in phenomenal shape.
Okay.
And remember, look, this is a legacy fight for him. He's seeing this as a world title fight. There's no world titles on the line, but he's seeing this as pure legacy. You know, he talked about Anthony Joshua earlier, Addy, about mentally what he's going through as a warrior at the moment, as a fighter, about making a decision about, you know, what may in his deep fighting psyche look like a step backwards, but he can do it facing. And I think, you know, for Kell Brook, he will bring everything he's got in this fight. We may get a phenomenal fight between these two guys. They might both be down in this fight and get up again and be roared on by the crowd. And we might see a special, special fight on the night, you know, where they do find that last, those last throws in themselves in long careers where they know that the fight will be talked about forever as, you know, yes, it came late, but Kell gets the bragging rights forever, or Amir gets the bragging rights forever over each other. We know in 20 years' time they'll be friends. Mm. I've seen it so many times with fighters who literally look like they hated each other, later on go on tours on stage together and have fun and laugh about the days they did this or said that. And, you know, we've seen it recently with Chris Eubank Jr. and Nigel Benn on tour, and apparently they got on so well. And so everything's on the line for these two because, again, their pride is at stake more than anything. They're going to earn well out of it. But at the end of the day, all these fighters, all the sportsmen we ever talk about, they know when they get older in their career that people stop being talked about and fresh blood comes on the scene and the new sharks. And if they can walk away with victory over each other, then, you know, it's the championship of each other. This is, it's not for a belt. It's for the championship of each other. And that's what's so thrilling about this is one man gets all the glory. And, you know, that's why I said earlier, they've got a rematch clause, because if it's an amazing fight, they may just do it again.
And they probably will do it again if it's good, because the money would be very, very good as well. Just got a minute before we go to the break, Gareth. I just want to quickly touch on the February that Sky Sports have for boxing, especially when everyone thought when Matchroom leave, that could be that for Sky Sports and their boxing coverage. And you think they've got Chris Eubank Jr. and Liam Williams. You'll be there for that one as well. Obviously, this one between Amir Khan and Kell Brook, they've got Josh Taylor versus Jack Catterall. What a fantastic February that is.
Absolutely. And you've got Savannah Marshall and Clarissa Shields heating up. Clarissa Shields, obviously, making her UK debut. Clarissa Shields, the brilliant middleweight fighter, middleweight, super middleweight fighter, double Olympic gold medalist. You know, she's a fantastic, fantastic exponent in women's boxing. And she's making her debut. So that adds to the February the 5th Cardiff card as well. That's going to be a raucous atmosphere in the ice rink there in Cardiff. 3,500 fans. Chris Eubank Jr. knowing that he's got to go into the lion's den. He loves that kind of thing. I'm seeing him on Thursday this week down in Brighton for Talk Sport, a special documentary hour that I'm doing with Liam Williams and Chris Eubank on Sunday night on Talk Sport. Really looking forward to putting that together. Can't wait to see Eubank as well. He must believe that he can beat Liam Williams by going to Wales, because he has it all to lose, really, because he could be facing a Golovkin soon, you know? And we know that Golovkin, Gennady Golovkin's fight with Ryota Murata was delayed because of COVID
yeah.
over the New Year, Christmas and New Year period. And obviously, they probably will still fight. But Chris Eubank is gunning for a big fight like a Golovkin. That's a fight I'd like to see him have if he comes through Liam Williams. But styles make fights, and that is a thrilling fight. I spoke to Jack Catterall last week as well for fight night on the Saturday night, and he's really up for his fight. Undefeated, of course, in 26 fights. You know, he's a young father. He's very, very excited. In his late 20s now, he feels really ready for this challenge. He's an unperturbable character, and he's seeing that. He's looking at George Kambosos last year against Teo Lopez. He's mm-hmm. looking at Kiko Martinez against Kid Galahad. He's looking at the upsets and going, do you know what? That's what I want to see on February the 26th, I think it is.
It is.
Up in Glasgow at the Hydro, an amazing arena with amazing acoustics. I was there when Josh Taylor won his Commonwealth gold medal back in 2014. It's an amazing place. All the tartan will be out. The kilts will be there. The bagpipes will be playing. And he will march out like a Scottish warrior of old against the Lancastrian. As Jack Catterall said, it's the English against the Scots, and it's going to be amazing. Ditto when Chris Eubank goes from Brighton up to Wales to meet Liam Williams. It's going to be phenomenal. Roy Jones Jr., Adam Booth, great trainers involved as well. Cannot wait, Eddie.
Yeah, cannot wait. It's honestly a fantastic February for Sky Sports, and when it comes to their boxing coverage, it really is that special. All right, this is Final Extra on TalkSport 2. Next, we're going to look back at UFC 270.
The winner by unanimous decision, Francis the Predator Ngannou.
No, it's not simply money. I mean, obviously, money is a part of it, but it's also the term of the contract that I don't agree with it. You know, I don't feel like it's fair. I don't feel like I'm free.
Interesting words from the current UFC heavyweight champion Francis Ngannou after that victory against Cyril Gane. Weekend just gone, UFC 270. Look, Dana White didn't put the belt around his waist, and people might act like that's not a big thing. Well, it is, considering that he always does it. Mick Maynard done it instead. Dana White didn't do the post-fight press conference as well. Again, always does it. And I think it's because he was going to field questions about Ngannou that he didn't really want to answer, so he decided, you know what, let's skip that completely. I didn't like that. I don't like that at all. Interesting one, though, when it comes to the UFC. Even if Ngannou was happy with his contract and, you know, he was settled in, you look at who potentially he could fight next. And it's not the strongest division in terms of... Like, you've got young kids coming up. Like, I think Tom Aspinall will fight for a UFC title in a couple of years' time, but not now. So unless John Jones agrees to come back anytime soon and he can sort out his own issues with Dana White... There's not much there for Ngannou to go at, is there, in the next sort of 12 months?
No, definitely. I mean, I think John Jones is the fight. And Jones was very vocal, wasn't he, on social media, saying if that's all that there is in the heavyweight division. Speaking about, I'm sure we'll talk about the fight in a minute, the Francis Ngannou defence against Cyril Gane on Saturday night at the brilliant Honda Center in Anaheim, California. I've been there several times for fights. You know, two rounds to Gane and then three rounds to Ngannou was how I saw it.
Yeah,
he did a brilliant job, actually. But not the fight any of us were expecting, was it? And I know we'll come to that. But John Jones is the fight. It's the fight. And I mean, I don't know if I said it on the show with you last week, but, you know, what you need, I think I did. John Jones and Conor McGregor back in the UFC, and outside that, Israel Adesanya. Yeah, there's some other stars in the sport, you know. But the UFC are missing those guys. And, you know, then John Jones isn't getting any younger. I just want to see him at heavyweight. There was a time when there was a million pay-per-view buys in him going in against the top 10, Eddie, like 3 years ago, when people like big country Roy Nelson were around, I'd have seen him against John Jones. No, but they would all have really sold. He could have gone one by one through the heavyweight division and it would have been amazing. For me, that's the key. You know, you look at the heavyweight division and, you know, it's not that exciting. It's, you know, the depth and breadth has not been that amazing for ages. And I'll say as well, Cyril Gane's, you know, Yes, Victor, a very faded Junior dos Santos, but we didn't know, even though he's more rounded as a mixed martial artist, what he really had. And Francis Ngannou showed that he has levels in him, as they say in MMA. And he pulled off a victory. How often do we see this? When we think it's going to be a heavy striking match between two huge men, do we see the fight go a completely different way? And I thought it was a very, very unexpected fight. It was a very slow fight, wasn't it? You know, it was not the thrills and spills that we were expecting by in any way, shape or form.
No, not at all. Honestly, when they both went to the center of the octagon, I was like, oh, here we go. I had them, you know, that kind of feeling in the pit of your stomach, like this is going to be crazy. And it wasn't. It wasn't crazy at all. But look, credit to Ngannou. He proved that he can go five rounds. Everyone's questioned his gas tank and he's maybe his ground skills. He's clearly improved on those. And that's obviously happened by switching camps. So look, he looked really good. But I'm so with you on the John Jones thing. Look, I love John Jones more than any other UFC fighter in history. I've always loved him, regardless of his outside stuff, which isn't great. I've always said him in the octagon, there isn't a better fighter I've seen. And that's including Anderson Silva and the rest of them. How John Jones wasn't ringside for that one, I think the UFC just messed up. How he's not ringside, and you know, remember, he's 260 pounds right now. Him walking up to the ring and going nose to nose with Ngannou, that's a million pay-per-view buys right there. Take my money immediately. Immediately. And they messed up.
Like you say, they did mess up. There were two things that didn't happen. Dana White should have put the belt around Francis Ngannou's waist. Mm-hmm. And that is a mystery to all of us, even though we know that Ngannou only has one fight left on his contract and there's negotiations going on. Dana White doesn't get on with his management team. Remember, they have issues. And secondly, John Jones should have stepped in there afterwards and they should have gone nose to nose. It would have been an amazing moment. I know it would have been an amazing moment. A push, a shove. There you go. 2.5 million buys. Boom.
Easy,
you know, it was a missed opportunity, Addy. Simple as that.
Yeah, you're right. And even just talking about it now is getting me excited because it would have been crazy. Yeah. And there's no one for Ngannou to fight. John Jones wants money. It would have been the one fight where you can actually both guarantee them big money.
Yeah,
like you're going to get big money because this is going to be crazy, and we're going to promote it the best we can. And we know the UFC, when they want to, do a good job in promotion. Yeah. So it is disappointing. Very quickly, we've got about a minute left here. Figueiredo got his belt back against Moreno. That's the third time they fought. They're going to do it a fourth, aren't they? They're going to go again.
Yeah,
it's so hard to split them.
Listen, those fighters, you know, that they have such skill levels. They are so fast. It's always thrilling to see the small men fight. You know that the flyweights are extraordinary. You know, when you think they're men and they're 125 pounds, they're brilliant, brilliant fighters. And those two are an absolute credit to the sport and a credit to themselves.
Yeah.
I thought Davison Figueiredo thoroughly deserved his victory. I agree. Let's have a fourth fight. Absolutely makes sense.
Yeah, makes sense at all. Figueiredo is that, you know, I can go to Mexico and do it if we want. I don't mind going into Moreno's backyard. Moreno said, you know, I can go to Brazil, do it in your backyard. So both of them clearly want it as well. Should be fun if they ever get it on. As always, Gareth, thank you very, very much for coming on. Really appreciate your company. That's it for this week. Thank you so much for downloading our Fight Night Extra. Remember, we're back every single Tuesday for more great content. And if you miss us, make sure you subscribe to Fight Night to catch up on all our other episodes.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.